quietly return to your seats. Please greet someone with a holy hug in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, we have our athletic director, Dennis Johnson, coming to share with us. And as I was reading his bio, a brief summary of his resume, I noticed that he has a heart of a champion. We can celebrate that he has just won his second national championship as the women's volleyball coach here at Fresno Pacific University, as well as I noticed he could be anywhere else besides here at FPU with the credentials that he brings and the places that he has been as coach at USC and institutions such as Penn State. We are grateful to have him here and knowing that he is committed to what God has called him to do, to serve as leader, as athletic director, as well as professor at FPU. So at this time, can we bring forth our athletic director in the person of Dennis Johnson, and we welcome him with the warm FPU College Hour hand clap.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. I know this is a, I was wondering what I would say when I was asked to do this. Middle of April. Now, for someone like me, it's April 15th, which means it's tax day. Okay? But I got my taxes in. But for you folks out there, you're looking at 2 or 3 weeks of some pretty intense class time. And I know stress levels go up and so on and so forth. So I thought, you know, what would be appropriate? We'll just do a brief little thing. It's called Your Very Best. And we're going to have a little clip. Many of you have seen this clip before, seen this movie before. It's a clip from the movie Facing the Giants. And I think if you've seen it, you'll recognize it. If not, for my academic training, it's in sports psychology. Okay, I got my PhD in sports psychology, and so I can't help but think about this kind of thing. I love thinking about it. Been coaching for over 30 years. So between the academic thing and the applied thing, I love this clip. And so we'll go ahead and play that now, and then I'll finish my thoughts after that.
Thank you.
Wow. I love that scene. You know, I'm a coach. I love athletics. I love trying to convince people that they can do more than they think they can. That's what I've made a living at doing, and I think we've been fairly successful at it. It's fun to watch people do that kind of thing, actually. It's fun for them, psychology talk, the aha moment, in which they realize what more they can do. You know, I've said, now, coach there chose Brock. He chose Brock because Brock was the most influential. Okay, you heard him say that. He chose Brock because apparently Brock is the most gifted on that team. That's important. I heard a good friend say, and I've said it many, many times to our volleyball team, I've said it many, many times to other places when I speak, no team will ever achieve what it is capable of achieving unless its best players are its hardest workers. Okay? There's another way of looking at that. No team will ever achieve what it is capable of achieving unless each member of the team accepts, pursues, and comes close to meeting their God-given giftedness. Okay? God-given giftedness. How motivated are you to achieve what God has gifted you to do? How motivated are you to develop that gift? Do you know what that gift is? I see a couple people from the sports psychology class. We just finished a unit in motivation. And I think motivation is one of the funnest things to talk about. Okay, because really we do nothing without it. A simple definition, now it's like class, okay? Simple definition of motivation. Basically it's framed as the direction and intensity of one's effort. The direction and then the intensity of one's effort, okay? What do you choose to do? And then how hard do you choose to try to accomplish that, okay? You got a few more weeks of the semester. You know, you may have set a goal of a particular grade in a class. Okay? Okay, that's the direction. But what about the intensity? Okay? You've got friends in the dorms. You've got relationships. Okay? I'll tell you what, when all is said and done, you know, we get a lot of attention here. I get a lot of attention because the volleyball team wins, okay? Now that's how our culture, that's how our society sees that. And those wins are great. And people keep track of how many times you win and how many times you lose on the scoreboard, okay? But you know, an athlete of about 20 years ago here, this dates me, okay, we were talking one time. And he said, he made a comment that I've never, ever forgotten. He says, you know, he says, it's not about the wins and the losses. And this is a team that won a championship, okay? It's from a men's basketball team, okay, a while back. He says, when all is said and done, he says, it's about the people. It's about the relationships. 20, 30, 40 years later, that's who you're going to remember. That's what you're going to remember. You will not remember the wins and the losses. And I think we're all in this room, I think we're smart enough to understand that God really doesn't care about the wins and the losses. But he does care about the relationships. And he cares about the giftedness that each of us has been blessed with. God's standard for success. Okay. I've already reflected that it's very different than what our culture's standard for success is. I think God has gifted each person here in this room with abilities far beyond what they ever thought they could do and ever think they can do. I firmly believe that. I've watched people in my professional life do that. I've watched people in my personal life do that. And I think those gifts are really there for one thing, and that's the building up of God's kingdom. Now, God's kingdom is a really big thing, okay? And it's multidimensional, and it's all that stuff, and there's another academic word, sorry. You know, but again, think about this definition of motivation, okay? Direction and intensity. Direction and intensity of your effort. I was really excited this year when the year, the verse for the year was unveiled. I absolutely love this. This is one of my favorite verses. Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I think it's a beautiful lesson in faith in our God, okay? An obedient faith that directs us towards the giftedness that God has given us. I really believe that, okay? I've been around athletics a long time. And in athletics, we have a lot of these little words we use. One of those words that we describe things that characteristics of players, of athletes that we really, really like, that the coaching profession admires, that teammates admire, is this thing called mental toughness. Mental toughness. Okay, you got to unpack that one to understand it. You know, what really is mental toughness? Okay, well, obviously, it's something that that we all like. When all is said and done, and again, and I'm not going to go in, I need a whiteboard and diagrams and stuff to show you what it is. Okay, but when all is said and done, it's just a combination of three things. It's forgiveness. It's the ability to forgive yourself, okay, for a mistake, because we're all going to make those mistakes, okay? It's the ability then to persist, okay? And it's a level of confidence that forgiveness and persistence are going to give you, okay? Really, when all is said and done, that's what mental toughness is, okay? Whether you're talking about something academically, or you're talking about athletically, or whatever. Or you know what? Your relationship with your God. Okay? Because it's not always a smooth road. You know, even though God's side of the deal is perfect, our side of the deal is not. You know, we've over the years, people have commented about the volleyball team. Okay? They've commented about a number of the athletic teams here at Fresno Pacific. We're admired. We really are. And I know a couple of times, I mean, I had a coach one time said after a match, they said, you know what, I watched your kids walk in the building, and they walk in and they just know they're going to win. I watched them walk into the building. I watched them when they were, and we hadn't played this team, she was watching us, and we, you know, she says, we went five that night, and it was nip and tuck. She says, you know, you're in that fifth game, and I looked at your kids, and there was no question, it was absolute confidence they were going to win. And I looked at the other team, and it didn't look that way, you know. And she wanted to know why. Well, part of that coach stuff, I didn't want to really tell her, you know. There are some secrets in this world, you know. But I just talked about a little bit. I said, you know what? I said, we work very hard every day at getting our players to believe that they can accomplish anything if they're focused in the right direction and if they pay attention to the right things, okay? We work on the confidence thing. Great players. It takes a while for me as a coach to give a player that label of great player, okay? That's not an easy thing, at least coming from me, okay? I think great players do exude this mental toughness. Now, don't forget the context of giftedness that we're talking about here, okay? I think great players affect everybody around them, okay? I think great players are the kind of people who, and I see some of the volleyball players here, who make the people around them better. You see, I think God's giftedness is intended to do that. Okay, it is about relationships here on earth, okay? It's about obedience to God, but it's about relationships here on earth. It's about the ability to make the people around you better, okay? Now, if you're motivated to do that, okay, it becomes more and more important. Remember direction and intensity of one's effort, okay? God has gifted every single one of you in this room with the gift, with a spiritual gift, if you will, of encouragement. Every single one of you can be an encourager, you know? Every single one of you. Great players, like I said, are the kind of people who make the people around them better, okay? Great players are great teammates. They're great teammates, okay? We're talking about relationships. Okay, I'm not talking about the person who gets the most kills or scores the most points or runs the fastest or jumps the highest, okay? That is not how you define a great teammate or a great player, in my opinion. Great teams are full of great teammates. And I think great teammates are mentally tough, okay? Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves, okay? If you want to do a fun study sometime, just pull the concordance out. It's a simple deal to do, okay? Okay, we're not talking about, you know, something real difficult that you got to go to seminary for. Get the concordance and just look up the one another's in the Bible. The one another's, and just start reading the one another's, okay? There's a message in it right there, okay? Every person in this room is gifted beyond what they think they can do. Remember Brock, okay? He thought he was really, really going to show everybody something because he said he could maybe go to the 50 without somebody on his back, okay? And he ended up having a 160-pound guy. Coach was mistaken, rather than 140. Had to laugh at that one a little bit. Now, Brock's blindfolded. I thought that was a stroke of genius by that coach, you know? Because Brock was limited by his own concept and his own commitment of what he thought he could do. He thought that what he was doing was good enough. The poor volleyball team hears this one once in a while. Good enough's not good enough. If you're capable of more, good enough's not good enough, okay? What I liked about that scene is, and then what came out of that, I think, is that Brock respected his coach. He trusted his coach, he obeyed his coach, and he believed in his coach, okay? You gotta believe that after Brock was done, a couple things happened, three things happened at least that I could think of, okay? First off, he realized just how much more his best was, that he was truly gifted to do more than he thought he could, okay? That his faith, his respect, his trust, and his belief in his coach increased even to greater levels, okay? And just kind of exchange the word coach and put God in there, okay? Your giftedness and what you're capable of doing, okay? Your faith, your trust, your respect, your belief in God can take you beyond what you think you can do. And I think Brock's teammates, their level of faith, respect, trust, and belief, not only in Brock as a leader, but possibly in the coach and God, increased significantly. You can have that effect. Every one of you can have that effect. You know, spiritual gifts, you know, they're not for the spiritually elite only. Again, every one of you is gifted. Every single one of you. Know what those gifts are, okay? Now, my daughter might accuse me as, Dad, you have a gift. Okay, what's that? You have a gift for eating chocolate. Okay, well, that's not the kind of gift we're talking about here, okay? It's not a See's Candy kind of deal, okay? God is the sole source of whatever your giftedness is, okay? Which means that we're called by God to develop those gifts. Our pastor said not long ago, he said, all gifts are grace gifts. Now, what did he mean by that? You know, basically it's a gift that we really don't deserve. It's freely given, but one that we've been blessed to have and to enjoy. He said, our pastor said, there's types of gifts. There's the gifts of word. You can speak. You can talk with people. You have an ability to communicate, okay? And then there's the gifts of deed. So you can just do things for people. You can make the people around you better, okay? Everybody, though, as I said earlier, has the gift of encouragement. Everybody. You know, I think that in some ways, again, it's another word the volleyball team hears me talk about, is teamism. Okay, that gift of encouragement, because that's a relationship kind of thing. Okay. I believe, and I'm asked sometimes, why is the volleyball team always so good? Well, I think there's a simple reason. Okay, and I honestly believe this. Okay, and I'm not ashamed to say it every year. Okay, and there may be years where the volleyball team doesn't win, you know. Here's what I tell people, and I actually believe this, I say it publicly, okay? I think every person on that team is brought to this place by God in his own unique way for his own unique purpose, okay? I think every one of you is here for that reason too. And every one of you here is capable of doing far more than I think you believe you can, okay? Believe in your ability and believe in your giftedness. Use that giftedness to impact the people that God puts in your path, okay? Respect your God, trust your God, obey your God, and believe in your God, okay? Have a great rest of the semester.
Rachel. Hi, guys. Sorry, I'm like trying to maintain. I have a lot of tragedies in my family right now. How many of you guys have a pen? I'm sure you all do. Some of us students have been talking about like suffering, and I mean, I'm up here and talking about suffering right now. My family, that's like my best friend, I guess. And just when I start coming at ease, it's like God puts a little bit of suffering to draw me near to him. And as we were talking about suffering, started realizing that, you know, everybody has their degrees or their kinds of suffering. I mean, when we think of the word, it's pretty serious, but some of our sufferings may be serious to us, so it's kind of like relative. But in either case, when we talk about Jesus, Jesus usually associates with those that are suffering. And so, do we have to pass those out?
Yeah.
What we were talking about was, we were actually asking each other the question, who are the ones that are suffering on our campus? And so with this economic recession, we know that a lot of our faculty and staff are juggling many activities, many responsibilities. And so while we gather together and entertain each other sometimes, or while we're having fun and laughing, sometimes a lot of our staff and our faculty are really struggling behind the scenes. So what this is a student-led faculty and staff appreciation day. And if you guys got one of these, you're encouraged to write something, some statement of encouragement or appreciation to your a professor, a staff member, and just put it in their box office. So if you can do that, that would greatly encourage them. And we're also, some of us are gathering in front of McDonald's Hall, and we're going to pray for our faculty and staff right after college hours. So if you want to join us, be welcome to do so. Hopefully this would be a word of Christ to them through us, expressing that we love them, that we care for them, and that we appreciate their efforts. So with that, be encouraged to write something beautiful to one of your professors.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ivan, for our announcements. Let us keep those announcements in mind. We want to thank our brother, our speaker for today. Let's give him another hand. FPU, we want to thank you all for coming out. We pray that God will be with you. Go in peace.